Down to Brass Tacks. Hello? Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good after a good evening yesterday evening. I'm fine.
You mean we went to Barbara's Labor Party meeting?
You could believe you won't. Mr. Ellis, I was there listening to that. Oh, sorry. Good afternoon to your guest.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. I was sitting and don't listen to these intelligent people here and enjoying this program. And I took up my phone and I said, let me see if I get in. And I did get in. And I wanted to ask the person who is responsible on among the guests there from the waterworks, everything possible to check the water before the meter. So that is the main question I really was falling on.
Why are you asking that question?
Because that will then let us know that the problem is after the meter, which should be the resident.
I thought they went through that in detail just now, but anyhow, you might have missed it.
So why holding on? This gentleman, I can't say he's a BRT, but to me, he's a regime change person. And for the last 3 years, everything but Barbados to him is bad. Because if he could come on the air, after listening to the guests that you have there, Ms. Ellis, and give me the impression, and me, because everybody see and hear things different, that to him, he really can't believe these people because they might be protecting the country. Which would be a good thing anyhow, but that's his impression. I want to know why he can't see it the other way away. Whereby.
Because the two of you are two opposite ends of the spectrum.
He
will see all that is bad, and you will see all that is good.
Yeah, but it's my country, so I should see all good.
But it's only your country, it's your party too. And maybe it's on the other side of the coin, it's his party.
Okay. I ain't getting another party. Who are you, Mr. Ellis?
Right, so let's call a spade, and move on. You asked the gentleman a question. Let me answer your question.
Let me put this one first.
Before. I thought you put the question to the man, and now you want to answer the same question that you put.
The fella discussed it already.
But you're not easy.
The regime change fella discussed it already. They don't have to go over what he said. what I would like to say, Miss Ellis, is this: the same way that the civil services of the country have to be on top and correct and etc. If I have a residence and have a problem with any service, water, light, gas, whatever it is, the first person should be notified is the service people. If the embassy have their problem at 5 of their residents, from the time they're noticing, the first person they should have called is the waterworks. Before they even had a test, because the test will only come when you're suspicious of something. So if after today, as I heard from your guest, that they can't even get into the residence, the only body to blame is the American embassy, because it's time enough. So why you have to believe it, that they're boiling all their water and they're only drinking bottled water? Because up to now, that means that they're still using the same water that they complain about. And that is the puzzling part that I don't understand. Why can they get together with the waterworks department, the Ministry of Health, and everybody, and solve this? And let, so when the waterworks people come again, they will say, "Well, we found something, or we found nothing," and get it finished with. Why it says that all it now, the embassy that have the problem haven't invited the waterworks onto their premises? Why?
Well, I suppose that has a lot to do with, they generally suggest that it's foreign soil, properties that are occupied by people who are from the embassies, like, representing other governments here. That's how their property is viewed.
Dealing with Barbados side, dealing with the embassy side.
They right, there's the embassy side, because you're
okay,
talking...
Okay, let me
right.
give you an idea. But the waterworks get a lot of licks, right? I'd give them some, too.
Look, at the end of the day, the representatives here have been able to put their side of the story as it relates to how they see the problem with the water. Truth be told, the people, I don't know who exactly who did the tests for the Americans. I would assume that the people who did their tests would also be specialists in the field. And
but we don't know them?
We don't know that. And the truth, I always am very cautious about listening to just one side of any story. That's the truth. So we are at a disadvantage in a sense because we are at a disadvantage because you're dealing with a foreign government that has said very little, but it has said enough to create a lot of panic and concern in some quarters. And when you have, on top of that, advisories issued by three other governments, then you know Barbados is on the defensive. Really, we really are on the defensive on this one. You know, I remember Tom Adams used to say that if a lady get a head start, the truth has a hard time catching
it.
And if indeed it turns out that we have been hard done by the way that this has been handled, then it means that we are really, you know, disadvantaged, seriously disadvantaged in dealing with it. However, it is complicated by the fact that we have the crisis on the South Coast. And at a minimum, people would be advised to be cautious in those circumstances because you don't know what can happen tomorrow.
It's a simple, simple thing that you're all making. Even you're not making a long story over a simple thing.
What simple? What's the simple thing?
All the embassy have to do is let the waterworks department and the people who deal with testing the water.
Yeah, but that's simple. But the truth of the matter is that for their reasons, they may not want to do that. And right. Even if they did, it would not mean that tomorrow you couldn't have something that, you know, is potentially dangerous. So yeah, I'm saying to you, be very careful.
It was good.
Pardon me? The
U.S. have agreed to joint sampling, but we got to wait on them till their team arrive till a time that is appropriate. So technically,
so what is the that test it first can do
right?
Now?
So they have agreed to joint sampling. They have their protocols.
Yeah, it's obvious that the people who might have done the sampling first time around were not as expert as the people who are coming in. That's what I would read into it.
This final one, let me get off the air, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir.
In 2013, this politics now.
Is there ever a time you don't talk politics?
In 2013, Mr. Ellis, the Minister of Finance, around March, April, May, around there,
yes,
explained to the country that the foreign reserves had dipped about $260 million or something. Suddenly, I don't know how foreign reserves have disappeared quick, so you remember that?
I remember a discussion about it and who you were blaming for the disappearance of it.
I ain't blaming nobody.
I mean, but not no, but you were blaming people then.
What I'm saying this here, at that time they decided to send home 3,000 people. You remember that also?
Well, you confirmed the figure that I gave earlier today.
Yes. The Waterworks Department negotiated with the union and up sending home no one. 100 and 80 going off of there. I think almost 200. And we could come right down to NCC. NCC was sending home 300 and all right, I think it is. They end up sending home 192. And then the final meeting was held between the board at NCC and the gentleman representing the Barbados Working Journal and Mr. Clark from the NCC. Both of them leave the board meeting, thanking the NCC board for the good way that they went about their business and everything and things. The total move from 3,000, I'm putting a direct figure, to under 2,000. So the gentleman who called before and explained to you it was 18, he could be right. But I know the other gentleman who called that don't understand that when he turned on, he tapped in Barbados, because he might not be as old as me, but I know he got to be going 60s almost to get by me in the 70s. When you turn on, you're tapping Barbados for all my life. and you see burn water, you know that there's a burst somewhere, or if you live close to the end of a main, you can get that problem.
That ain't true. If you live in Sunset Crest and Sandy Lane, you just get all the time.
Okay. But what I'm saying is,
you say almost all the time. About 90% of the time.
Not so much.
Tell me why. But in any case, you proceed, sir.
In this country that I live in America, and then you turn on your tap in America, and you put your container on the sink, you see water like mobby, that sugar with the dark brown sugar. And you got red.
This and I suppose if you were in Syria or like, no, you wouldn't get water at all. You can go all around the world for the worst case scenario. That's what, you know, there's always somebody better and somebody worse.
I know Barbadians for years, when I say years, 40, 50 years, that never drink that water in Barbados. They always buy it. I don't want to call names because you know some of the people.
That's true. Dennis Johnson is one?
I didn't know about Dennis Johnson. I told what I experienced. I never experienced that with Dennis Johnson.
But seriously, there are people that you know that I know?
Yeah. They call them sports people. There's people involved in sports. Play for Destinies. And I can't call a name on here. They didn't give me permission to do that. But I'm saying that I know them. For the years I know them, they never drink that water. So the thing about drinking by water boiling, I think that is some people. But I was drinking. You hear that man, 96-year-old Friday?
No, I didn't hear him.
He said, look, I was 96. I was drinking my best water all my life. You don't feel like you should drink till you get 96 too.
Who, you?
Yeah.
Any water that will kill you is all the other things. Oh, you see this politics that you enter? It make you burst a blood vessel one these days.
I hear you all there. I was in America then, but I hear you all there, yes,
sir.
Well. That Mr. Lynch make a mistake and attack the Prime Minister. And the Prime Minister said, Wall is in Barry.
Yeah. He lost.
Last night, Simmons got buried. You have a very good day.
All right. Down to brass tacks. It's 12:15. Who's on the line?
Hello, I'm here. Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, let me move from by the radio. Mr. Ellis, I live right on the south coast, right close to the swamp.
Yes.
Now I'm dealing with the mosquitoes. We have some mosquitoes here, and although we live close to the swamp, we never had a mosquito problem before because there were fish in the swamp, but eat the larva of the mosquito. But now we had the mosquito, the fogging machine pass on Friday. Right now the mosquitoes almost eat me.
So what you are alluding to is environmental difficulties suggesting that fish, there's been a fish kill.
The fish are not there anymore. We could get your chair.
Or that they ran.
And it's not there anymore.
It swam away.
I believe. I don't want to say what I believe because I don't know.
But has that been tested, though? Let me ask the officials here. Have you all been looking at what's been happening to the Graham Hall swamp? Because Alex Eiffel spoke earlier about the importance of protecting that environmentally. This concern that has been raised by this caller is something that has been coming up in recent days, an increase in the mosquito population.
Well, yes, we periodically do our checks around the Graham Hall Swamp area. And yes, there has been a reported increase in mosquito breeding. What we can say, if there is a good or a positive to this, is that the species of mosquito that we have identified primarily is the Culex species of mosquito. And that is not necessarily, that is not a vector of any of the diseases that we are concerned with in Barbados.
It's really a nuisance
mosquito. And it would bother you in the middle of the night, but it does not transmit any diseases.
And then what you read on the internet?
What you read?
I read it gave you malaria. It gave you, it's a number of sicknesses that can give you headaches, sleepiness. But, you know, I don't understand, because why you look up on the internet with this Q-tip mosquito isn't telling us that. And then I want to say this before you cut me off. This fogging is doing nothing. It's a waste of taxpayers' money. Because the fogging, the fog on Friday, and the men on the feet come in with the time they shoot that thing into the house. We bring them in the house, and they shoot it in, and still the mosquitoes eating you the night.
But you know, I want to suggest to you, though, that while the concern that you're raising has to be investigated, if that's the case, there are places I've been where you've had a lot of mosquitoes, and people use nets to a greater degree than we do here in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that you may have to resort to in the interim until we are able to fix the problem.
Yes, but I'm looking at the fogging is a waste of taxpayers' money. And it's not only that, me, I've been talking to some neighbors,
mm-hmm.
and they're also having the same problem as the fogging machine passed. We want to know what is happening that we're getting so much mosquitoes in the swamp now. What happened that the mosquitoes got the fly, not the mosquitoes, the fish is gone.
This is Steve Daniel from the Ministry of Health. He continues to respond to you.
Yes.
Okay.
As it relates to the fog and its effectiveness, we do periodic efficacy testing of the solution that we use to formulate the fogging. And it has been proven to be effective, but of course that's under controlled conditions. Additionally, we would all appreciate that if you have a continuous flow of mosquitoes in swarms, that though the fogging may basically eradicate a number of mosquitoes for a particular period of time, if we have a continuous source of mosquito breeding, you mm-hmm. will get a backup, for want of a better word, which would give the appearance as if the fog isn't as effective as it should be. So ultimately, it all really comes down to the breeding site, which is mm-hmm. something that we all have to work towards finding a solution to that.
Yes, the swamp.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I heard you say that you made mention of malaria and other mosquitoes. We have to be very, of other diseases, we have to be very clear. There are specific vector-borne diseases that are related to specific species of mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm.
So as you speak about malaria, that is an anopheles mosquito. It's not a popular mosquito in Barbados. Mm-hmm. And you would need someone in the population to be infected with malaria first.
I've been saying that, yes. Yeah. I've been wondering that. That was
yes.
my next.
So the mosquito that you're really seeing and having problems with is the Culex mosquito, the Culex species.
Yeah.
And that is not a vector. That doesn't deliver any particular
you're
disease.
Saying a
mosquito
mosquito. Disease. You must educate me. A vector mosquito is a transmitter.
Yes, please.
Oh, I understand right. now. That's
yes.
what you need to tell us that it's a transmitter, so somebody will have to come in with the disease.
Yes,
to bite that person and bite me.
Exactly, and you would need that specific species of mosquito, the anopheles mosquito, also to be present.
Or if somebody comes in with the disease and that mosquito bite them.
Yes,
that clears it up for you.
Yes, it does.
So, in the meantime, what are you going to do about the fact that they're biting you up, as you see, you said just
well, as Mr. Ellis said, I have to go and get a net.
Get a net.
Because the fogging machine, I know that it has increased in the things that they use for the fogging. The smell is much stronger, right? And it ain't working.
The mosquitoes that we have here are small. I've been places, boy, you see mosquitoes, they look like flies.
Helicopters.
Yes. All right. This person says, can you ask the experts if any water samples have been taken from the ocean as the quality of the water, as to the quality of the water, as all the storm drains, the effluent is flowing into the sea. That's what this person says. And people have a right to know what they're swimming in. Then they say a concerned surfer has suffered 2 bouts of gastro in 3 weeks. So they're linking gastro to swimming in the water over there.
As I indicated earlier, we have the special monitoring program, and to date, all the samples that we've taken at the specific sites, and this is ranging from Amaryllis going straight up the Wardens Beach. This is the special program specifically, and we've complied with the US EPA standard. So all of those samples, we've complied with the standard. I think the important thing is that we must recognize within the Ministry of Health, EPD is invited to those meetings. We have weekly meetings where we meet as a management group. We look at the issues, we look at the challenges, and we have response strategies for those different issues. So every week we would meet. If we have any new information, we analyze that information, but we're trying to make decisions based on evidence. And we're now looking at redesigning some of our programs to ensure that the information that we are collecting is appropriate for the situation at hand. Not saying that what we are doing is not appropriate. What we are doing meets the requirements under the US EPA standard. We're doing that consistently.
And this person wants to draw the lady on the panel. They want you to spell out whether could the lady from the Best DeSantos lab say if bottled water is tested? There's a lot of bottled water coming into Barbados.
Bottled water is tested as it is sent to the laboratory. When the water samples, water arrives at the port, the environmental health officers usually take a sample out of the shipment and they're submitted to the laboratory for testing. So yes, they are tested and the results are sent back via the Ministry of Health.
That's Gail Trotman. Let's take another call before we go to the news. Hello. In the news coming up, a woman fell in a well. So I need to get the details of that when we hear the latest from Starcom Network News. Hello. One more call. You're on the air. Hello.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes,
I'd like to follow on from the caller, I think two callers ago, where he was asking a question with respect to the prevalence of mosquitoes in the Graham Hall area. But my angle of it is to really ask pointedly to the, I guess it would be the Environmental Protection Department, whether testing has suggested that the sewage has actually reached the Graham Hall swamp, especially given the fact that you've mentioned that this is a protected area. We're protecting species of fish, species of birds. We know that the sluice gate opens from time to time, and that water does enter into the seawater as well. So I guess my question is, and I want to ask specifically, is there any indication based on your testing that the sewage water has actually penetrated the Graham Hall swamp? My second question...
No. Let him answer that one first.
Okay, sure.
Currently, we, our special program, we've been sampling at the sluice gate only. We haven't done an extensive sampling program within the wider Graham Hall swamp area. We focus for public health reasons to look at the impact of the discharge when we do open the sluice gate on the nearshore marine environment. So that has been our initial focus. We have not focused on the greater swamp area, but I know the public health officers have been sampling Graham Hall swamp back in 2006 and parts of 2007.
But isn't that important now, given the kind of crisis that we've got? Well, that's surprising.
Those samples, basically, I know we're about to do some sampling at the swamp just now, but basically, the focus of the sampling before was on public health concerns when it contained that. So Barbados Water Authority is in the process of probably this week or so doing a number of samples in the swamp to collect background data.
Carla, how does that leave you feeling?
Well, I mean, I just find it very interesting that we're talking about an increased occurrence of mosquitoes. And, you know, one hypothesis could be that normally you would have a certain number of fish that would eat the mosquito larvae, and it's possible that if we have less fish, we may be seeing more mosquitoes. And I mean, we're talking about focusing on public health risk, and, you know, you just had a discussion about how mosquitoes can carry disease. I know that there's certain types that carry disease, and we've only seen the culex, but that's not to say that we could not have other types of mosquitoes then breeding in the area at sometime in the future.
You have a second question, but I want you to bring that question to me immediately after the news because we don't have enough time. So if you can either stay online or let the producer take your number and call you back, okay?
I'll stay online, thanks.
Thank you very much. Starcom Network News is next. We have with us in the studio, we're going up until 1 o'clock, and with us are Gail Trotman, Laboratory Quality Manager at the Best Dos Santos Public Health Laboratory, Steve Daniel from the Ministry of Health, Alex Eiffel, Water Quality Technologist with the Barbados Water Authority, and Anthony Headley, Acting Director, Environmental Protection Department. We had a lady on the line just before we went to the news. We asked her to stay with us because she had another question. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. So my second question is really to reiterate a question that you asked a bit earlier, which I don't believe was answered. And your question was, you were seeking for the panel to expand their discussion of the public health risk other than to the water supply. I think we've talked about water supply extensively, but you would think as a layman that there would be public health risk of having sewage, you know, raw sewage in the streets. And as a kind of a part B to that, should there be such risk, I would like an explanation as to why the public has not received any guidance as to how they should function in light of such risk. I've heard nothing from the GIS giving people guidance about what to do if you have to traverse that area, nothing at all. So if I could get some kind of feedback on that, I would appreciate it.
Who's going to take that? No, Gail Trotman, you have been able to stay silent for so long. Okay, Steve. Steve Daniel from the Ministry of Health, delegated to do so, to speak by Gail Trotman.
Yes. As it relates to the question about health risks associated with sewage, that pretty much goes without saying because sewage is basically made up, it's liquid form of human waste along with other disposables that would be put into the sewer system, whether it's chemical and physical things that find their way into the sewer system. As it relates to the GIS response and the Ministry of Health response, I can say the Ministry of Health has been doing work on the ground itself, working with businesses in the area in terms of advising them how to stay safe and to keep the premises sanitized. And because at the end of the day,
yes, go ahead.
Sorry?
You go ahead.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, the main risks relate to the risk for fecal oral infections. And fecal oral infections basically means that the pathogenic material that can be found in sewage has to find its way into your mouth to be ingested. So it can be delivered via your hands, lack of hand washing, basically from surfaces, from fomites, forks, utensils, things like that. So we basically have enhanced our surveillance and education programs in the food businesses in the areas to advise the operators in the area how to basically reduce the level of risk associated with what could potentially occur due to fecal oral infections.
You know, there has been a lot of focus on Graham Hall swamp and this discussion and stuff like that. But I need a little bit of response to the idea that the kind of pressure that apparently is building up underground so that we're now having at times what looks like fissures. What are the environmental dangers associated with that? I mean, how long can we sustain that kind of pressure underground, under the roads, out by the buildings? Is there a danger associated with having that go on for too long? Because that's another aspect of the environmental concern.
That is certainly one of the concerns that we have as well. And recently we've asked the Ministry of Public Works to have a closer look with respect to, is there any impact occurring on the geology in the area and whether or not there are any issues that we have to plan for. So we expect that the Ministry of Public Works will begin to have a look at it in terms of doing any geotechnical tests to see if the subsurface has been compromised in any manner.
They haven't gotten back to you with any specifics on that yet?
No, they haven't gotten back to the committee as yet, but we expect some report should be forthcoming.
Of course, we also associate gas with sewage. In that context, do we have anything to fear?
But we don't have things I see in here like hydrogen sulfide that some persons are concerned about. But remember that this would be a concern in a confined space environment. Now, these gases are not in a confined space and they're being blown away. If you were in a confined space environment, if it was coming back into your house or so, that is where you would get problems with the gas.
But we're talking about the outfall pipe, for instance. If there's a major blockage in there, then, and that's been suggested, then gas can build up in there.
But the fact that water is coming up to the surface, and a water molecule is bigger than any hydrogen sulfide molecule, so if water can get out, gas can get out. The problem would be if that the sewer was so hermetically sealed that gas couldn't get out. That would be a problem. But if water, if a molecule of water can get out,
then gas is coming out.
Gas can come out.
And it won't build up.
It won't get that build up.
Okay. Let's take another call. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Ellis. How are you?
I'm well. And you?
I am good, too.
Yes, sir.
I realize that your voice still ain't clear yet. I don't know what calendars you're getting.
My voice?
Yeah.
I am a lot better than I was last week.
Yeah, well, it either mean that you're not doing the things you used to do or you're taking too long doing what you're doing
all
now.
And it all means that you're delving into my business too much.
Well, no. My favorite, so I would always...
I hear you, I hear you.
Right. Anyhow, Mr. Alex, you know my usual complaint, that at this time, this 1 o'clock cut off, and even now with the bell ready to ring, you're still going back for it.
And this bell ring ready to ring, Will. You're going down in June. You're going to estimates and that, sir. I don't know where you come from with bell ready to ring.
The bell was going to ring since December, so don't give me that. Don't give me that, Mr. Alex.
You're trying to wring every piece of juice out of the cloth.
Not. Well, you know the position already. Yes, the time is given to you, you spend it. You don't have a problem with that.
Who, me?
It's not. I don't have a problem with that.
Precisely.
Right, I don't have a problem with that. Anyhow, Mr. Ellis, I didn't get the beginning of the program, but I understand you opened up with some clips from Queen's College yesterday.
You were there? I heard your voice.
Well, obviously, I was there. You know that. It won't miss me. But at least I don't need to give you reports like before, because obviously...
I would have
own. You seem that you're getting them now.
I try to get independent reports. I can't depend upon you.
But at least if you got your own, you won't have no conflict. But I guess they would say the same thing, that they were standing room only.
I knew you were going to go there.
But yes. Well, you know, it is the reality, you know. You can run from it and hide from it and whatever. But
Don't worry about me. I ain't even getting involved in that with you. Whether it was standing room only, whether it could run a rat through the place, I'm not into nothing so with you.
You know, before there was pictures, you used to say that. But now that you're seeing it...
I mean, everything you see with the cameras, you know, you can't necessarily believe. But I watched both these of those meetings on Facebook Live last night. And I didn't see any panning to the crowd at the DLP meeting. I saw panning to the crowd at the BLP meeting. So I was trying to figure out why that was. I suspect you were operating the camera.
Yes, you know, streaming, I don't think it would be moving boat that much and things like that. But
it was only
been
one meeting?
It is the rallying call, you know? And the Prime Minister calling the troops to order.
Okay, very good.
But
he accustomed doing that. He just only talk to you all. He don't talk to the rest of me.
But yes, but you know, normally he can speak to anybody.
Feel comfortable in that environment. Nobody can ask him an uncomfortable question.
But Mr. Ellis, what question would be uncomfortable for him?
I don't know. Put it to the test.
What question? He addressed a service group up to last week there. He just addressed them every month. He
a
always
service,
addressing them.
You mean Taurus?
Taurus? Not the Taurus. He's doing the Taurus.
Anyhow, you're calling me to talk with the Prime Minister. You called to talk about something else. I only got you here taking up time that somebody else could use, unless you got something else to tell me.
No, we had talked for a little while. I really wanted to pull you up to about the news bulletin from the embassy and the way that you really give it legs to the extent that it seems like they can put out an official report for Barbados. But since then, I see that you like have softened it a bit and then there'll be more discussion on it. And like the caller was asking earlier, if that the water authority don't have permission to go at these residences, the five residences, to do testing, they can test water from by the meter. Up to the meter is their responsibility. And I know if the water up to the meter is good and then there's any contamination, it will got to be after. And I don't think that we was well done with them putting out a statement as though it is our official testing. We can't put out an official testing for the American embassy, and I don't think that
what you're saying is fair and reasonable. They did not purport to represent the government of Barbados in their testing and what they said. They said that their tests at their residences. That's
exactly
what they said.
Exactly.
That could not be seeking to represent the government of Barbados at all.
But yeah, but they didn't compare it with the water authority test. You see, that is the problem.
But
that
the water authority and the United States Embassy and other organs of the Barbados government got together, and they have decided that there's going to be a particular protocol that they're going to follow in trying to look at this matter. Whatever errors might have been committed initially, by getting together, they have determined that this is the way forward. And most of all, this issue is far bigger than just this one advisory. It is a number of countries are telling their people not to be operating as though they are lacking in caution. So we have to take sense from that and move along. All right, thank you very much. Let's take one more call before we finish the program today. Hello? You're on the air. This is Down to Brass Tacks. The number is 4341790. One more call. Hello?
Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Yes, from my point of view, I think this program wasn't well selected or put together.
Okay, tell us why.
I think three people are missing.
Who?
The Prime Minister, the Environment Minister, and the Health Minister, and two of his men in the back. The other panelists, sorry to call these men back, the panelists there,
mm-hmm,
should be also with them pulling the shirt there and kicking the shoes,
mm-hmm,
at the ground of the lane.
Okay.
Because you got a worldwide, not a worldwide, you got a problem here with sewage, and they're gone worldwide. Right?
Yeah.
So it's in a secret to the world. And these men that you got, the thousands, I keep on saying these men, the panelists, the lady and the two men, there should be David behind these same people who want back power to run the country with the same problem. The panelists there should be in the background pulling the legs and kicking the shoes as they're going to learn. And giving up data.
Okay, let me ask you how much worse off we are because the political bosses have decided that they won't be part of this process. In your judgment, are we worse off? Are we better off?
Of course.
How much so? What makes us worse off?
Because you're insulting the nation.
That's
you. You can tell me that I'm the former, you're the manager of Starcom. Mm. And Starcom got a big, big problem, and you ain't facing the public, not even the contractors that you even heard to solve your problem. You weren't even facing them. Man, you'll be in trouble. Vandy bought my mother. can't advise me or can't stand with me in a crisis. But then I ever get a crisis, or the crisis, can't, you can't get out because you ain't got no money, you might have it.
Well, I really can't seek to counter your own observation. That is your subjective assessment as to how the government perhaps should handle this. But in the meantime, what I want to do is thank the officials for coming along and sharing the information that they have shared, and be open enough. They have been open enough to take your comments and your questions, and they have sought as best as they can to explain the various issues that we face in this regard. And I think that to a large extent, many people feel a greater sense of comfort coming out of the way that they've handled themselves today. Gail Trotman, Steve Daniel, Alex Eiffel, and Anthony Headley, thank you very much. And thanks to all of you who participated in today's edition of the program. Special thanks to Dennis Johnson, the technical operator and producer. I'm David Ellis. Do have a great afternoon.